I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Saif, before we even start, didn't you say you had a very important message today?
Oh, my God. Listen to me. I'm going to the Chicago area. Not Chicago.
Oh,
Rosemont.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like outside of Chicago.
Right.
There's a great comedy club there called Zany's. I'm there December 17th and 18th. I'm headlining. All YNAP fans, please pull up, because don't make me look stupid out there trying to headline a gig and I ain't got no YNAP fans in the building. You know what I mean? Do me a favor. Get some tickets. Pull up. You can go to CypherSounds.com, get tickets, or just go to Zany's website, Zany's in Rosemont. Not the one downtown, because who the fuck do I think I am? You know what I mean? I'm in the other one. Zany's Rosemont. It's closer to the airport, so I can get the fuck out of there.
this is the ad for Saif. Yeah. Saif Sounds at Zany's Rosemont. He's close to the airport.
Yeah, so come through December 17th and 18th. That's this week.
If you're all right,
listening
Chicago.
To this in real time. All right, let's get into it.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Oh, and good night.
Oh, man. So it is a big day. The one-year anniversary, Cypher, of us bringing back YNAP.
Is this when we did it?
I think it's. Well, hold on. Billy June, what's the exact day that it was?
The first episode came out on the 14th, which is Tuesday. Today, when this episode releases.
Really?
The trailer came out a week before, but that doesn't count.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you, Billy June.
Thank you, Billy June.
Now, listen, I this is not an ideal way to start the old anniversary episode, but I was going to text you last night, but I was like, I don't feel like explaining this over text. And
what happened?
Oh, man, I'm dealing with a serious family loss.
Oh, no.
From yesterday.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
man.
To hear that.
Let me put it this way. The easiest way I could say it is if I was black, the person who died would be called my cousin. But since I'm white, we say generic things like, it's my parents' good friend's daughter.
Family friend.
It's our family friend, which sounds incredibly generic for someone you've known, you know, since birth. Right. But she had a terrible cancer diagnosis. She was 25 years old. And you might have seen me wear this sometimes on some of the episodes, this bracelet that says Fight Like Rach, which is something that was made for everyone to donate money to the Brain Cancer Foundation, I think it's called. So she had two brain tumors. It like Valentine's Day last year, she had a seizure. They brought her to the hospital. All of a sudden, she's 25 years old. She just moved to New York and moved in with her sister. She's just like living life. Seizure. She'd been having some headaches, and they're like, "Oh, you have a massive brain tumor."
Oh.
And it had been, you know, pretty clear the whole time that it was likely not going to be okay.
Sheesh.
But last night was a complete random. Like, talked to her this week. My brother saw her Sunday. Like, was not, it wasn't going to be now. She just had a seizure and died last night. Which I suppose you could probably find some silver linings in. The not having to kind of wait till the bitter end.
You could find silver linings in anything if you really search for it, but that doesn't take away the hurt. You know what I mean?
No. So I want to say rest in peace to my dear Rachel Rabinowitz. She's an amazing girl. Absolutely cannot believe I'm saying this. And I'm finding myself, Saif, having a harder time given now the several things that have happened over my adult life. I'm not able to tune into the emotions the way I used to. There's like a little more blockage to even getting to the processing of how terrible it is.
Really?
Yeah, it's not hitting me. Like, I'm sure that the funeral and seeing everyone will hit me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I'm having a little trouble feeling it the way I'm used to sort of feeling things like this.
I mean, yeah, that comes with age. That comes with callous. You know what I mean? Like, as we get older, we experience more losses, and you have to come to the realization that loss is part of life. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's shocking when you're younger, and then as you get older, more people pass away or bad things happen, and you're like, it's inevitable, you know? And then you have to start thinking about your own mortality in conjunction with loss. You know what I mean? Because it's like, the more we lose people, the more you realize we're all just human, and we're all just, our time is limited. And, you know, and then situations like that, which is more sad because she's so young, but that doesn't change the way we have to deal with it.
That's true. That's a really good point. And it's just like, man, like the fear of things that happen to other people. Death was just like haunting this week. It was everywhere I looked. I remember I did Nick Cannon's show.
Yeah.
And then, so the day I'm before about to do the show, they're sending me emails, as I said, with daytime TV, 100 emails about everything we're doing, even though it was a 3-minute thing. And then all of a sudden I see this thing come out that Nick Cannon's baby, 5-month-old baby died of a brain tumor also.
Yeah, so I was saying the same thing almost.
So it was like, just heavy. It was just the whole week. And then,
hey, welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, happy anniversary. you know what? Here's a hip hop.
I was talking to
go ahead.
A friend of mine, a comedian guy. I don't want to say his name. I don't know if he wants his business out there, but his mom passed away recently of almost the same thing, I think. I think it was the same thing you're saying. Or, you know, in that zone. And then another, sorry, this is going to sound very crazy. Billy, who died recently? Was there a comedian that died?
I don't.
Do you mean
recently?
You mean Norm?
Huh?
Not Norm McDonald.
No, it was something else. I was talking to this comedian, and then we were talking about someone else.
There was a comedian whose son died a few months ago. In a drunk driving accident. Recent.
Billy, what? God damn it.
I don't know.
This is what you get. Look how Billy June's nerd poster is up in the background, Saif. Look at that.
I don't know, man. I'm very sorry for anyone suffering any loss.
Can I just cut this out?
But I'm just saying,
nope.
No, don't cut it out. But get out of here. Leave. But like, no, like even even in loss and death, and like, this sounds crazy, but obviously we're on a theme here of cancer/brain tumors.
Yep.
And he throws in a car drunk driving.
He just throws in a drunk driving. He doesn't see the theme.
I'm sorry. Anyway, my point was, I was talking to this guy, and we were talking about, like, now we're at the point, like, where you're thinking that, God forbid, one day we're going to die. But he was worried about, like, how do you, like, we don't know. We're dead. It's now I feel sad for what people are going to feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm thinking about. Like, I've accepted that one day I'm going to die. When you're young, you're like, I'm never going to die. I'm living life. But now it's like, you know, he was talking about the getting your affairs in order. Like, nobody wants to have the getting your affairs in order conversation.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, that is, I look like I'm in a Baghdad hotel room.
It is, by the way, that is true. And people are going, we tuned in to hear Russ and the anniversary, 1 year anniversary. They're going to be loose. And this is the.
Oh, it was the actor. Who died?
Michael K. Williams?
No, someone just died recently and they didn't say Virgil they had Abloh. Kids. Virgil, that's what it was, Virgil. That's what we were talking about.
There you go. Hey, Sife, let's take a break from the horrible, morose conversation we're having and bring in the guest.
Okay.
Who, by the way, for the record, Russ is here.
Yes.
Chomp 2 is out.
Yes.
And it is the ultimate Wannep listeners album for right now. Would you agree, Sife? You see this lineup?
The lineup looks crazy.
Yeah, the now I know why. Crazy. I hit Russ a few months ago. I was like, yo, man, I'd love to get you on one of these songs I'm doing. And he was like, yeah, I'm kind of working on something similar. And then I saw his lineup. I was like, oh, he did it like what I was doing, but bigger. And he's the guy rapping on every song.
Well, you just got to rap next time.
I got to rap next time. But, yo, if you guys have never checked a Russ project, or even if you have, this Chomp 2, just to give you an idea of the level of craziness, Ransom, Papoose, West Side Gun, and Styles, the premiere joint, which is... I mean, Sife, you're going to love it and make fun of the very late era premiere scratches that he has on it.
Of course. You needed that, though.
You needed that.
I saw
it's in the game.
I saw like a premiere put up like a clip of him talking to Russ about the scratch he wanted to use.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. Because I like this. To me, I always say this on the podcast. There's two premieres. There's from the mid-90s where it was one phrase scratched over and over with a melody. And then later 90s, early 2000s, he would take a bunch of different phrases and like make like a sentence hook. I like the first premiere better.
Yeah.
So this one is like, but people always make fun of me the way I make fun of premiere. Like, hey, we're in the zone. Get it right. Come on down.
Hold on. I'll give you guys a taste. Let's get a taste of this. Rapping on a Primo beat. This beat from Primo made me feel reborn. Come on. I used to light myself on fire just to keep you warm. And regardless if my ego feels completely torn. What? I'm ghost if it don't move my spirit like a Ouija board. I see rewards come after. Yo, but he gave you the chord progression that I love. I love when he hits this.
Yeah. Now this is just like, there's so much soul in this. I knew this was the one.
This is similar. This is actually a better, slightly better, I think, version of the same chord progression in the Mac Miller joint. Face the facts.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Snoop. On the album called I Wanted, They Me.
Ain't that the truth? Fuck the rules of the industry. I'm filing out. Wait, let's stop there. I want to get to the chorus. But so your first production credit was Snoop?
Yeah.
What was the story with that? I didn't even know that.
So this, when was it? 2-3 years ago? Something like that. But Snoop had reached out, which was like crazy, and called me. And like the first time you hear Snoop Dogg's voice, like talking to you, you're like, is this a soundboard? This is a soundboard. There's no way this is real.
What's up, nephew?
So we locked in. And when I was in LA, one of those times, he told me to pull up to the studio and pulled up because he said he needed something for his album. So I had like just a bunch of beats with hooks on them. And so one of the ones that I played him, he put on his album. It's called Take Me Away with Wiz. Wiz jumped on it.
Wow.
And you
that's your first outside production.
That was my first production placement ever outside of myself. Was a Snoop Dogg album called I Want to Thank Me, which is like very on brand for me.
Yeah.
Like, this is well perfect.
And is those beats with hooks something eventually you want to use for your own songs, or you have those ready to like show other people?
I got 100 of those.
You have just so many of them. You might use it one day for yourself.
Or
somebody might get it. Somebody might take
it. Yeah, give it away. You know, that's where, like, the publishing companies come into play.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yo, just shop my hooks around.
Right.
All
right,
let's get to the chorus. Let's get to the chorus here so we can
very primo chorus.
Get the full primo of it all.
Single dead into a roundabout, found a route, bumping cutty, thought that I was down and out. Free myself, now I'm up in the way, without a doubt. I lived it up. Yeah. Never thought twice on what my future brings.
Oh, there you go.
I'm free from all the bullshit of these labels. Fuck, no sucking diving here. Nah. Fuck tap dancing on tables. Nah. This ain't no Bojangles.
Yo, Crit sounds fucking
insane.
Oh, man. Insane.
Can I just get a quick overview of, like, people don't know nothing about you. And I'm talking to myself because I'm not in the radio game like I used to be where I would study it. Can you just give me your quick rundown of how you came up and where you're from and stuff?
Yeah, so I was raised in Atlanta. I was born in New Jersey. So Funk Flex always loves to just still shout out Jersey for me.
Because he's going to lean into the Jersey.
It doesn't matter if I'm like, yo, I moved when I was a baby. We got Jersey in the house.
That sounds right.
How old were you when you left Jersey?
I was a baby.
Literally like 6 months old.
Yes.
Yeah. But hard. He was hard in Jersey, though.
Nah, but like my parents are from New York and New Jersey. They were, you know, they were here till they were 30 type of thing. But
yeah,
grew up in Atlanta. Was making beats at 13, 14 all throughout high school, so I'm 29 now. And I didn't start, like, really trying to get on the mic till I was 19. And then I just flooded with 11 mixtapes between 2011 to 2014. Didn't work. Nothing, no results, really. So then
really?
I
really, nothing was happening?
Nah, I had, like, 800 followers. Like, nothing was shaking.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, got to switch up the approach. So I did a song a week for 2 years, 2.5 years. And that's when everything just started going crazy.
Wow.
So I got to understand. I want to go through this part. How did you, like, was there something that happened that made people, because Syph and I are always, I realized recently why you're a perfect guest for the show, and we'll get more into it in a little bit, but Syph and I are always asking, like, What do we not do right business-wise? Like, the podcast game is like a fucking free-for-all. Everyone's fucking out of here. And so what we have done this past year, and this is the one-year anniversary, is we've finally been consistent. We do every week. And so we've always been sporadic. We're trying, whatever. What I ask you, though, is, yeah, you did songs every week, but what happened that made it all of a sudden something fall into place?
The quality of the songs. See, that's what, like, when artists, like, hit me and they're like, yo, I've been doing a song a week and it's not working, it's like, because the music sucks.
Right, it's still not getting good.
Yeah, it's like, so with me, it was kind of this perfect timing of, I always look back at my career and I'm like, those 11 mixtapes were really necessary because I got good enough to, when I was doing a song a week, it was professional, like, high quality music. So I think if I would have done a song a week at the beginning instead of 11 mixtapes, it wouldn't have worked because the music wasn't good enough. So
right. So your 11 mixtapes were your boot camp.
Right. And so by the 11th one, I was like nice enough and I had found my sound enough where I could really do damage if I just put out the music in a more digestible way once a week and one song at a time. So
and when you were releasing it once a week on what? Like, what was the platform
SoundCloud
at that time?
SoundCloud. It was on everywhere. Like, but you remember Apple Music didn't even come out till 2015.
Right.
Spotify wasn't even really something anyone would push. I wasn't even promoting the iTunes. Like, it was like strictly SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
You know what I mean? SoundCloud was where, that was when SoundCloud was popping. Like that 2014, 2015.
It was on fire, yeah.
Syph, that's probably precisely around the age where you and I got more removed from what was happening, because the truth is, I've never adapted to the SoundCloud era. Yeah. Yes, of course, I use SoundCloud, but I don't interact with it the way young people interact with it.
No,
and never did.
Yeah.
Our story is because we're two hip-hop DJs that love hip-hop more than anything else in the world, but we got a job. When we got the morning show, our love of DJing and hip-hop maybe was moved down to a quarter of our lives as opposed to 90%. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had a corporate job. I mean, he still has one. And you can only but do so much.
Wouldn't that make it more part of your life or no?
That's what we thought. That's why we both took the job.
Right, because it's like, oh, now I get to do this for a living, for a life.
No, but now it's like,
but what you get to do for a living is, yeah, and it's based on mainstream shit. So everything you're doing now is super geared towards what does a morning show audience care about.
And that's the thing that sales department want you to do. What does the promotional department want you to do? What stupid live appearances do we have to show up at? Mind you, waking up at
digging is not even necessary anymore, and in fact, it's probably a waste of time.
Correct.
Well, because Rosenberg still had his underground show on the weekends, so that's why it's not 100% eradicated. He still had to stay up, but not as much as like a kid who does nothing but listen to music. And
the hard part is this: by the time you get to the spot where everybody has their eyes on you,
right,
you're no longer fighting in the gym every day like some of them are to get there.
Right.
You're like, I did that for 14 years, whatever.
Right.
Now I'm here. Now I gotta, and particularly the morning show is tough because like we played your record yesterday on the morning show, the Primo one. And people don't understand, we're the only people doing drive time that will be like, yo, let's randomly play the Russin premiere. That's not happening.
No,
like,
for sure.
Like, literally, like, you have great places, LA Leakers on Power in LA and different spots and night shows where people will do shit. Literally, no one does what we do. And even what we do is nothing. Yeah, it's such a small percentage that, like, so, well, I'll have a random day where, like, I'll reference some shit and Ebro will be like, yo, let's play it. And we'll play X-Clan at 8:15.
Right.
And no one's like, oh my God, can't believe y'all are pitting an X-Clan song while mothers are driving their kids to school.
Right.
All they hear is, yo, every day I turn y'all on, you're talking about bullshit.
Right.
You know, mainstream things, relationships. But the morning show job, yes, it's the best paying and it's the longest longevity, except for Syfe, who was disgraced and fired.
Disgraced radio personality.
But it has that ability.
Yeah.
But it's because you're just playing songs for people going to work and taking their kids to school.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know, we talked about Friday, all I talked about was Drake and Kanye. What happened last night?
Yeah, you got to play the role.
And you got to play the hits.
Yeah.
And so the hard part is, the last 2 years I finally dug back in because, frankly, I started listening to a friend of mine whose ear was closer to the ground.
Mm.
You have to grab someone who's not doing what you're doing,
right,
who can help keep you tapped in.
Yeah.
Because then I added the afternoon sports show, too. So it's just hard.
Yeah.
And then, and also, we had just gotten used to in the 2007, 8, 9, 10, it was like, okay, it's blogs. You go on Not Right, you go on Two Dope Boys, you find what's hot, you download it.
Right.
Then it went away. And I was like, oh, I don't know the new shit.
Right. Where do you get the new shit from now?
Yeah. And you were deep in it. You got in the SoundCloud game, which became it.
Yeah, I was super deep in the blog era, too. That's where we found Absol and, you know, you hear about all of that stuff.
Everybody.
Everyone. That's why I remember getting on Two Dope Boys for the first time. That might as well have been a Times Square billboard.
Yep.
Back then, right. I was we stopped the car, we pulled over. You know what I mean? Like, that was a huge thing. But man, it was
shit changed.
Shit changed. But now,
heard of the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell. Yep.
It's all about the reason why Bill Gates and Steve Jobs popped off the way they did is because their age of when the personal computer was invented, and they happened to be 15, 16, 17, where if they were 21, 22, they would have already been stuck in their ways. And if they were 11, 12, they wouldn't have cared. So, like, your age and where you were doing your music was when the technology met up at a perfect moment
for you. I always say that about my generation, too. Yeah. We have that really, like, interesting one foot in, one foot out as far as, like, I remember being in high school and no social media because the only thing out was, like, Facebook.
Right.
And people aren't just have their phones out. Like, I remember going to parties with no one on their phone because there was nothing to do on your phone.
Right, you were the last.
I was the last generation of that because then my sister, who's 5 years younger than
me. She was already.
It's a wrap. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was already over. But I still remember that. And I still remember, like we said, Two Dope Boys and all that. But I'm also like, okay, I understand SoundCloud and I understand TikTok. You know what I mean?
How into TikTok are you?
I'm getting way heavier into it because TikTok is the only app I think that you can truly discover new artists on now.
It's really
as far
crazy.
As like it's for the artist because you got to think, right? Instagram and Twitter, the algorithms the way they are now. When's the last time you found an artist on Instagram?
Never.
On TikTok, on Twitter or Instagram? it's been years because like it's not even the discovery.
No, it's method on there. Who follows you?
It's impossible.
Yo, did you see the new shit this week though? What? Have you noticed how much shit they're suggesting now?
Oh, on Instagram?
Yeah. So Instagram.
Oh, on some like if you like this post. Then,
yes. So yeah. Instagram's going back to the chronological.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, what's the hook? They're not doing this. There's a reason they're doing this.
Right. Yeah.
Literally the next day when I looked, every sixth thing I see is not someone I follow anymore.
That's even worse though.
I know. It's even worse.
It's like, wait, so now not only do I not see people's posts that I follow, you're showing me people I don't even follow. Yeah.
And and my shit is they end up showing me shit, the last shit I want to see.
Right.
They're like, oh, you follow Ebro. Want to check out Charlemagne? I'm like, no. Right. You're showing me shit I literally don't want to fucking see.
Well, because it's like a similar interest.
Because it's similar interest.
But yeah. See, that's like TikTok thrives because the whole timeline is the explore page, essentially.
Yes.
It's crazy. And TikTok's the only thing where an artist with 10 likes on their post of them singing in the bedroom ends up on my For You page. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like I found so many artists that have that on TikTok, and it's a discovery thing. I even for myself, like I got a song called Seduce with Capella Gray out that went dummy on TikTok, and it got a million likes on TikTok. I'm like, dog, do you know what I would have to do to get a million likes on Instagram? Right. I'd have to be naked in a threesome with like name two famous women. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that probably still wouldn't get a million likes. So TikTok is. If you're an up-and-coming artist and you're not on TikTok, then I found this blonde white girl.
On TikTok? That's your whole algorithm.
His whole For You page is like
that's all it is.
102 pounds.
This blonde white girl, she has to be like 19 or something, and she replays hip-hop classics like with the samples. Like
I know who you're talking about. I've seen her too. She's like in her bedroom with the keys.
The little keyboard, and she plays New York State of Mind. And she missed the samples. I'm like, this is craziness.
Yeah, but see, like, you would never see her if she was only on Instagram.
Of course, why would I even be searching? I'll get arrested if I'm searching for that. Right. Like, young white girls on keyboard.
But like, it's a shame that, like, Instagram is no longer, not that it ever really was. I don't know if their intention ever was to help artists get discovered. TikTok really feels like it's for the creators to get discovered. Chefs, fitness people, like
whatever, anything,
whatever. It's just like it's a crazy.
If you're into something and you look for it, you'll see some crazy shit. It's dope.
Nah, and I noticed that. Like I said, I noticed that with my song "Seduce," and I was like, man, if I put up a TikTok to every song I've ever put out, I obviously would have caught more hits than I do now. That's just like common sense at this point, you know.
Yeah, that's such a. But why would you have ever thought of that previous to?
Because 2-3 years ago, Gary Vee was telling me get on TikTok, and I was being old. Like, what do I look like? Get on TikTok. I'm not going to do dances because that's what I thought it was.
Right. Bro, it doesn't have to be that.
No.
When I got on there, because I put all my comedy stuff on there, and it's doing great. And I thought it was like, I don't want to dance to the latest. I'm like, once you get on there, you're like, oh, it's not even that. I never even see those dances anymore because algorithm it's gone to like something else.
So I need to use it more. My problem is it's not a healthy place for me.
Oh, no. It's
algorithm-wise, I need a whole cleanse.
Yeah.
Because I've said this many times on the podcast, but I still find it funny, so I'll say it again. When you look up and realize that what TikTok has decided of you is that you only want to see huge tits and fights in arenas, you're like, oh, is this who I am?
I need a self-check.
This is not good.
You know, TikTok is mirror, mirror on the wall.
Exactly. That's what I like. But I do hear, I do need now, to Russ, figure out a way to utilize it.
Russ, do you still mess with Kara Lewis?
Yeah, she's still my booking agent domestically. Okay.
So this is how I found out about you. That was my TikTok discovery of you, Kara Lewis. She was my agent for Nina Sky way back in the day. She was Nina Sky's agent, but you know
she's also
a
everyone's
legend.
Agent,
right? Of course.
She's a legend, and I had a meeting with her, and we were like, "What's your favorite shit right now?" She's like, "I'm not worried about anything else right now, but Russ. Like Russ is my golden child," and I was like, who is Russ? You know what I mean? And she like, it's this kid. She started playing me some of your songs. This had to be, I don't know, what year did you start with her, roughly, you think?
End of 2015. September 1st, 2015. I remember exactly.
Wow. Right then, like the beginning, she's like, this is my baby. He's selling. Like she was telling me that the theaters you were starting to sell out, and I was like, who? I never even heard of this person. And then after that moment, I start seeing you everywhere.
And that's what's crazy. All those shows, those beginning shows, were sold out off of SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
You know what I mean? Like, so I was walking in my SoundCloud analytics to Kara. Like, that's what I would be sending her. Like,
right.
That's how I knew where to tour. Right. I was like, look, let's just tour these top 10 cities. This is where I'm popping at. And that's why everything was selling out.
And so is your family in the music business? Or how do you even know this stuff at that age?
I just studied this shit so profusely. Like, my best friend, Bugis, who we did all this together, he kind of really cultivated this environment that was so serial killer esque with the industry. Like, because the studio was at his house. Whenever I would go over there, I'd be there for weeks on end, months on end, and it would just be Breakfast Club interviews playing constantly, or Hot 97 interviews playing on loop, like all of them in a playlist. And we would, that's all we would do for
just studying the shit.
Yeah, so it's like
taking every little gem from every little interview.
Yeah, man, like we knew about Peter Schwartz and Kara Lewis because we had seen enough interviews and people dropped those names, and
right.
You know what I mean? So we kind of just knew that. And then the thing with me and the analytics, I've always been really fascinated with numbers. Like even in school, math was my favorite subject. I just like that it's finite. Right. You know what I mean? I like things that are like, there is no, like rap is not finite. You can think he's the best. I can think he's, math is 2 + 2 = 4. I don't give a fuck
what you're
talking
about.
Doesn't matter what
you do.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. So I'm like, I like that. It's like comforting. So I was always fascinated with analytics. So, you know, it was kind of easy. It's natural for me to look at my analytics and send them to my agent. And I study my analytics. It helps you, you know, if you're not looking at your analytics, then you're living in La La Land.
No, by the way. Exactly. Thank you. And Syph and I live in La La Land, and it's not great, to be honest with you. You think if it was La La Land, it would be fun. It's kind of frustrating and worthless.
The analytics, I get sad when I look at my analytics.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to start looking at them when they're not great so you can transform them into being greater.
And and you have to just like detach from the expectations of the results. You know? It's like, you can't get like discouraged by it, even though it's easier said than done, because especially if you put out a podcast episode and it crushes and then the next one you do doesn't, you're like, I'm a fucking loser. Yeah. You know what I mean?
By the way, and this gets back into, you know, everything. And then you're looking around at everyone else and everyone's got something going.
Yeah.
The comparison game. And so this is when I realized you were perfect. So to come on the podcast.
No, you could have just ended it with you're perfect.
Perfect. As a human and artist. No, so I talked to Fraud a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was calling him to praise him for his records on the French album and tell him how fucking disgusted I was by the flip of It's So Hard that Hitmaker did. Syph, did we talk about this yet?
Yeah, you told me. We didn't get into
on the air. And I told you off the air. I'm sorry, Hitmaker. No disrespect. You're a talented dude. This flip.
I gotta hear it. I haven't heard it.
Bro, you know what? You're the perfect person to play it for. I don't want to force you. Maybe you'll like it. So I don't want you to diss some shit that you like. But I was like, French got Doja Cat and Saweetie on a record.
Oh, the handstand thing?
Yes.
What flip is that?
It's So Hard, bro.
Big pun.
I didn't recognize it.
That's the problem. That's
I see what you mean, but it serves its purpose, bro.
Don't hold on. You can catch me in the chair at 160. It's it, right?
Yeah.
But I just feel like they softened it up so much, and I feel like it's barely recognizable. Where I would have leaned into it being recognizable.
Yeah,
that's the
but
thing
maybe
we
that,
love about. Go
but
ahead.
See, it's a taste thing. Maybe his taste obviously is like, I don't want it to be recognizable.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Really, what it is he's doing replays, and his replays aren't to me. That replay is just not good.
Speaking of replays, and speaking of Harry Fraud, we had to get a replay on the Harry Fraud song.
Let's listen. What's the Harry Fraud one again?
Top of the World, Jay Elec.
Oh, geez, Louise. So here's
and I was really worried that the replay was going to be trash compared to the original.
Let's see. This is Russ and Jay Electronica, produced by Harry Fraud. Top of the World.
Top two.
La música de Harry Fraud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
rapping over Harry Fraud. I'm in a ghost, you can't scare me off. Y'all moving fairly odd like Wanda and Cosmo. I bought Gianna a condo. Some rappers ordered some beef with me. They got caught with a combo. I knew
what's the replay? What is it?
The whole thing. Minus the drums.
What's the sound?
Hold on. Let me hear it. Let me guess.
Hold on.
Play it some again. Crazy.
Start yeah. it over.
This ain't Zelda. Models trying to link with me. Ain't nobody pin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chomp 2.
La música de Harry Fraud.
Yeah. Rapping over Harry Fraud. I'm in a ghost, you can't scare me off. Y'all moving fairly odd like Wanda.
Is it explosive?
Huh?
Is it explosive, Dr. Dre?
No. No, it's like some old 70s shit, but...
Oh, it's not a hip-hop sample.
No, they were just the sample holders were basically on some We Never Clear sample. It's a no.
Right.
Like, I don't mind someone who owns a sample to be like, yeah, but we got to take 90%.
Right.
At least let me do it.
But it was a hard no.
There's some people who's like, no.
This is good to know. So with a hard no, you can still replay it.
Yeah, you just have to get the publishing side cleared.
So then you just clear the publishing side, but it's not a sample anymore. It's just publishing.
Yeah, exactly. So
and sometimes you gotta do sometimes the people who say no don't own the publishing.
Right.
Right.
Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time, because they were doing a lot of shady deals back then.
So
yeah.
So but Fraud has good replay people.
Yeah. So my thing was like, I was so buzzkilled because I had already sent it to JLEC. And Jay Leck was already doing it. And I was like, yo, tracking him down and getting him to get on something. I was like, I can't be like, actually not that one.
No, you can't. Right. Once it's out there, we got
to
make it work.
I was like, we got to figure something out. And it was coming down to the wire. So I told Fraud, I was like, I need this replay back like ASAP. He got it back like in a day, like less than a day. And I was like, man, this is not even about to hit the same as the original. It was better than the original. So I was like, whoa, holy.
Sometimes I have a Fraud. Yeah, I have a Fraud record. It took a couple tries, but we finally got to a replay that's it. Fucking, he's good. His people are good.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, Fraud knows me. So I'm talking to Fraud the other day, and he was telling me about the Lil Peep project. We're talking about a bunch of different shit, his surfing and whatever. And he said, I got to join on the Russ project. And we started talking about you, and he talked about how much he loves you, like how great a person you are. And I just said, I was like, yo, man, what is it about Russ? Everyone like who knows him loves him.
Right.
And I was like, and him and I have discussed this in interviews to some extent. But I was like, what is it about sometimes the energy he puts off in interviews that we've done where he seems like angry? So we started having a conversation about what that is and about like sort of your frustration at times with lack of respect for people not appreciating what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, my God, Syph, we got to get Russ on the show. Because we literally, every week, we basically have therapy sessions here about, like, frustration, you know, for different things that you're like, how did someone not think of me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by the way, and I've done a lot of self-reflecting about the artists who I've affected that way, you know, who, you know, I never understood why my love of Kendrick seemed like such a thing that annoyed other people, but now I get it more. It's yeah, of course they can appreciate that Kendrick's good, but if you hear people talking about someone else in your field enough without ever mentioning you, and you think you're really great also, I see now why that could be...
Dismissive
or a slight. I totally get that. So I guess the first thing I'd ask you is, how do you feel you're doing with that stuff now versus, say, maybe 3 years ago? When it, to me, it seemed very... on your sleeve then, much more than it is now.
Yeah, well, I think now what I've realized is that the narrative and my whole kind of thing, what I represent, I guess, is very sort of anti-industry. So I can't then expect the industry to big me up when I am anti-industry.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk into like McDonald's looking for a job and you're screaming, fuck McDonald's.
Yeah.
And then wonder why you didn't get the job. So I guess 3 years ago, though, I was a little bit more confused because I was with Columbia. I was in the industry. Like, where's all my industry looks at? Where's my war? You know, all this shit. But it's like, at the same time, you know, me looking for that approval was also just unnecessary, you know?
And it would never end, by the way.
No, it would never end.
You'd never be like, oh, I got enough. I finally feel that I'm as great as I should feel.
Right.
That would never, ever happen.
Right.
Even if you won the Grammy, You had the moment. You know what's a good person to think about in that spot, kind of? Like, Logic went underground, underground, underground. First of all, made a record that you would probably never want to make, like a very commercial pop radio, the 1-800 whatever record. Great message, but like, I don't want to listen to that song.
Sure.
And he got the award shows and he got everything. And if you were to ask Logic what that ended up amounting to, people just hated on him more, right. Kind of got ostracized in hip hop a bit more, had to feel like he had to retire.
Right.
Like, what do you really end up getting from it?
That's the thing, man. That's the thing. It's like, at the end of the day, it just has to be about self-approval. And, you know, I was also frustrated because I felt like my accomplishments weren't saying as loudly as other people's accomplishments. And other people's accomplishments weren't even like half of what I was doing.
Yeah. Right.
I was like, I'm the only person ever to produce and mix an entire album and it go platinum. What are y'all talking? Like, what the fuck? If anyone in any other field is the first person to do anything, their praises get sung. Mm. I get tossed to the side like, what I just did isn't the most insane shit ever. You know what I mean?
And of course, though, to your people, it's a huge deal. Like, you have, am I wrong in saying that you sold out Staples Center?
By myself.
Safe. Didn't I tell you that the other day?
Yeah.
Like, that's really, like, it's really wild, but I also understand the element of the guy who roots for himself publicly isn't going to get the cheers and the, yeah, you got it from everyone else. That's why I said on Chomp 2, it's like, they hate you when you're winning, but root for you when you're losing. It's like, if I would have been quiet and shut up and, you know, never pissed anyone off and just was safe and just the happy to be here, go lucky guy, I don't know if I would have got more industry looks or da-da-da-da-da, but I do know people would have felt more comfortable rooting for me.
Mm.
Yeah, but you got to understand, if you sell out the Staples Center by yourself, you are a threat to the entire machine, the music industry.
Well, that's what I was just talking about with someone the other day, where it's like, my narrative is a direct threat to the industry itself, so I'm not surprised the industry doesn't like run around parading Russ, because it's like, okay, well, if every artist did what I did, there is no labels anymore. So,
bro, and this is going to be a very wacky comparison. Don't take it too. But Louis C.K. was literally becoming the guy who can do everything himself and doesn't need Hollywood. And they were like, no, we're going to shut this down. And, you know, found a way to shut it down, which is.
Wow, I didn't know you had this theory, Syph. Is that a full-on Louis C.K. conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
It's real. But look,
that's
a
thing that people talk about.
He's making his own. He said to FX, because they wanted him to make that show. He said, okay, I'll do the show. You can never give me notes on the show. What I turn in is what the show is. And if you say no, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, okay. And every little step was closer and closer to him being able to do everything himself. Bro, the machine is not going to let you do everything yourself. Eventually, somebody's going to have to get in there.
But the funny thing, I guess, that I none of us ever understand other people's neuroses, right? Like, why you have an... even though I have all my own validation issues, I'm not going to understand yours. And then, of course, there are people listening to me going, Rosenberg, you're doing everything I want to do.
Yeah.
So none of us are ever going to understand each other, but you're a funny one, because I'm like, you got something I've never had. You figured out how to actually make it all connect. You're rich making underground rap for the most part. Like, you've always had your little dalliances into melodic. This could be a commercial joint. It's part of who you are.
Sure.
But for the most part, you know, you're not fine. You might not be as hardcore in content as Griselda.
No.
But as far as the rapping goes, that's closer to the lane that you exist in.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. And I always talk to Gunn about this. He's managed a way to become rich doing exactly what he wanted to do with nothing else.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's, of course, it's never going to be enough to just feel good. But, like, just from the outside, it is interesting to see you and go, man, if I could figure out how to connect the dots in the broadcasting game.
Yeah.
I think of you as someone who, you did it.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't see how it could work much better. Like, what's the thing that happens? I don't even know what it would be.
Well, that's why I had to check I had to check my ego because I felt like my ego is what wants the, well, yeah, but I want the cover of Rolling Stone.
Right.
I want the Grammys. I want all the awards. And it's like, you may just not get those because, like I said, and what we're talking about, it's the industry, the very industry that you don't fuck with. Why do you expect them to, yeah, you know, do this? And then it's like, but then I ask myself, what does all that mean anyway?
Anyway, but then that's the bigger
what
part.
What does
is,
the cover mean? What does the award mean? Like, what did Drake say? Y'all keep the awards, I'll keep the rewards or something. It's like.
And by the way, so Drake, we'd say, Sype, Drake is the ultimate example of has gotten everything.
Yeah. Right.
And Drake feels the exact same way.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, the reason Drake and I always have a hot and cold relationship is because I say something and it like rattles, he'll get annoyed and hurt by it or offended by it. And I, of course, then am insensitive and I'm like, why the fuck do you care what I say? But people care what people say.
Yeah.
Even if you're fucking Drake, even if you're Hove, everyone cares.
Well, especially when you have a platform. It's not even why do you, I don't know if Drake cares about what Joe Smith in Nebraska says, but someone who's on radio, who's like
number one market, you know, radio.
Yeah, like and big in the culture. It's like, yeah, but at the same time, yeah, I mean, it's like I said, the covers and all that shit doesn't mean anything anyway. I don't think that if I was on the cover of Rolling Stone or if I was on the cover of GQ or if I had a Grammy, now everyone would fuck with me. Now we like Russ.
It's just, we were taught, man, when we came up, like, everything wasn't able to connect the way we are, like, through the internet. When we came up, those were the pinnacles. Those were the things we try to get to. But they really don't matter. Maybe they matter.
I just want people to think I'm the illest rapper out and the best songwriter. That's really it.
Well, that's
why I did Chomp 2 is because, first of all, I love rapping. For real, just rapping.
Yeah.
And I don't think y'all realize, like, I'm talking to the world. It's like, I don't think y'all realize how much I love this shit and how good I am at it when I want to do that. I just also love songwriting. I love melodies. I love hooks. So I'm blessed that I can do both. But it's like, I've noticed, all right, cool. Y'all really don't take me that serious on the rapping side. And it's because whenever you get a Russ project, it might be 60-40 melody rap, you know what I'm saying, or whatever it is. But it's like, all right, cool. That's why I didn't even want to do a 5-song project again. It's like, I'm going to give you 14, because after 14, it's undeniable.
Then the question is, you said they don't really, or you don't really, who is that?
The industry.
That's the, but who, okay.
Right, once it, exactly.
Let's keep going. Who is that? Because you're sitting here with me. You sat with, and Sife, you sat with Ebro 2 days ago.
Right.
So like.
No, it's true.
Like,
it's
who
true.
Is it? Like, who doesn't actually fuck with you?
And that's when you really start going through the layers. It's like, okay, is it XXL? Is it Complex? But I said, fuck XXL and fuck Complex. So they're never going to show love. And why do I need their love anyway?
And you already said fuck them. So why would you care? If you care that much, then you wouldn't have said fuck them.
Well, because that's when you're, you know, I fucking told y'all and y'all didn't answer my emails and fuck y'all now. Right. That whole thing. But then it's like, I want Grammys. It's just all this outside validation bullshit nonsense. And it's not real because, like you mentioned earlier, when I meet artists and when I meet people in the industry, it's always love. It's when you sit in the house too long and you get in your own fucking head and you just think everyone fucking hates you.
Is it comments?
You know.
Are you reading bad comments?
Yeah, are you a comment reader?
No, I still think I have PTSD from 2018 when I was like public enemy number one and it was like, fuck you.
Why were you public enemy number one? If I don't know the story, why were you?
It started with Everyday Struggle and the Nadeska thing. They didn't like how my personality was and how I was handling that whole conversation with me and her. And then a couple months after that, at a day and night festival in LA, I wore a t-shirt that said, you know, the Xanax and lean thing.
It said like,
how much Xan and lean do you have to do before you realize you're a fucking loser? And that went crazy.
I know. By the way,
it's dry humor, and I was talking to white kids.
By the way, I know. So, and they turned that into what, like laughing in the face of people who had died from
it. You don't understand addiction. That's
Crazy. Except that you were mocking people who were doing it for the sake of doing it. Like, oh, I'm gonna just once I take the cup, now I'm official.
Yes, I would literally. So it also just says a lot about the culture for people to have more of a problem with me calling out that than they do have a problem with people promoting
the actual or the actual act of
like how use. Do you have more of a problem with me calling out that shit and calling out the glorification of it than you do with people glorifying it?
Yeah, bro.
That's
really
what let me know this culture is this is a fucked up time right now.
I was in a studio in LA once And mm-hmm. I'm not going to say with who, but then the guy, the lean dealer came through and started mm-hmm. making cups for everybody. I was like, hey, guys, I'm gonna go. I'll see you later. Like, I don't even want to be around this. You know what right. I mean?
So then that
brought out a bunch of people who, a bunch of artists who were like, you know, you don't understand addiction and right. fuck you.
Did people call you? Did you get any calls from people that you knew? Like, were there any actual personal phone calls?
No.
It was just social media.
It was just like, it was rappers, producers, industry people.
And was it mostly, were the people mostly mad about it? The Lils and the generation of sort of SoundCloud, Rolling Loud.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was the ones who do that stuff.
Right. That was part of what their brand was.
Yeah, and it's like, and I talked to some of them, you know what I mean? And what's funny is a couple of them now, and I would never respond to their DM because I have nothing to say to them, but like they've tried to circle back and apologize because now they're off drugs.
Right.
And now, you know, it's like, oh, how convenient.
You don't say drugs and, are they are bad.
And I don't want private apologies. You diss me publicly.
Oh my
apologize
God.
Publicly.
I just said that recently.
If you got the balls to diss me in public,
bro,
have the balls to apologize.
And not
in public.
Only that, beautifully the apology said. Needs to be
As loud
and
the
on a,
disrespect.
Maybe a bigger platform than where you dissed me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the apologies
Your next album
get less...
needs to be called I'm Sorry Rust.
Bro.
Yeah, it's like the apology won't spread around the same way.
Yeah, so
of course not.
Yeah, I hate private apologies, yo. I fucking hate them.
No, that's why I'm not even going to like entertain it. Just because it's like, I'm glad that you're off drugs.
That's the jersey in you, Russ. That's the jersey in you. That's
maybe so. Maybe so.
It's so funny though, because you were only in Jersey as a baby, but you do have Jersey energy.
Well, because my dad is. That's what I'm saying. In the house was New York and New Jersey.
That's it. Okay.
And my dad is born and raised in New Jersey till he was 30. My mom is born and raised, and she was born in Brooklyn, lived in Long Island, like until she was 30. So it's like in the house is Italian, New York, New Jersey.
That's
you
know what I'm
you're just not
what's,
from.
What's your background? Italian.
Yeah, Italian.
That's crazy. Yeah, because it's straight,
you pull
it's
off racially ambiguous really well, I feel, in hip-hop.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone... Do people know what you are, really, if they don't...
I say, like, it's funny because at the beginning of my career, like, one of the first markets that really championed me was Saudi Arabia and the whole Middle East.
I thought you were Arab.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten, like, Lebanese, Saudi, Brazilian...
Yo, that okay. If you get Lebanese, Saudi, Brazilian, you're literally could be anything.
Yeah,
and you're Italian, sure. Jersey, New York.
Yeah.
Really, that's what your roots are.
I heard, you know, it's the Sicilian in me too.
Yeah, I heard Russ is gonna be playing Aladdin in the remake.
Right. No, I love it. I love it. But yeah, I mean, it's whatever, man.
So did you? You said earlier that you want to be considered the best songwriter. And rapper.
Yeah.
Who are the other? So who are the people?
That's
that,
why I have a lot of respect for Drake, because I feel like Drake, you have to put him in conversation as one of the best rappers, and you have to put him in conversation as one of the best songwriters, despite you know which if what you think the validity of his writing is with whatever.
It's not whatever it is.
You know he's
he writing
nice.
A lot.
Yeah. Like Stop. You know he's really good.
Yeah.
So that's why like he's the epitome kind of for me and my goal, just because I feel like. He is great at both, and I'm really competitive, I'm really ambitious, and I really want to excel at both. I want to have, you know, a massive
Who else?
Diamond song that's melody, but then also I want to get to the point where I can out-rap Black Dot. Right now, Black Dot's washing me. You know what I mean?
So you want to do both. You want to continue
Hell
to grow
yeah.
as a rapper.
Hell yeah.
And make it to... So do you think... Would you consider Drake to be at, like, basically the pinnacle of what anyone could dream of doing?
I think so.
Yeah,
if you're just looking at that from a
who
writes
also
the most
produce,
hits
right?
and also raps really well,
you also
and
produce.
I produce. So on the production side, that's the like lane that I'm trying to get into now. When I've been with Sony ATV on the publishing side for like a minute, like since the record deal, and I never really utilized them. I never really understood their role, and I'm just now like starting to be like, nah, you know what? Let me actually tap into what y'all got going on. Let me start sending beat packs around through y'all, and because
this is
when I go get the number one song, when I go get the number one song that I just produced, then I'm on my Kanye shit. You feel me?
Or I was gonna
That's
say more
like
on
the real pinnacle is Kanye, to be honest. Yeah, but see, Pharrell doesn't have the rapping props that I want. You know what I'm saying?
No, but he
Kanye's really like the.
He can rap. Not in the category of rapper.
Yeah, I'm saying rapper. I'm not. Pharrell's a legend. Pharrell's great. I'm saying like a Kanye really is honestly the pinnacle, because it's like Kanye has hits. Kanye can rap his ass off, and Kanye will give your favorite artist their hit.
That is true. What hits Kanye, I'm sorry. I was going to say Kanye Seif. I would say Kanye, not the songwriter Drake is.
I agree with that.
Because we know that Kanye's getting, whereas Drake, it's like speculated.
Right.
It's funny because Kanye doesn't get as hard a time about it. I guess because maybe he's more open about it.
Yeah.
But like everyone knows Kanye's gotten help on a ton of shit.
For sure. No, that's what I mean. Between those two, Kanye and Drake are my goats.
Now, Seif, did you watch the Kanye Drake?
No, I didn't watch it. I didn't even know it was watchable.
I didn't know it was watchable either.
Really?
I didn't know.
So neither of you saw it.
What was it on?
It was on Amazon Prime.
Oh, no, I didn't know about because all my group chat.
And it was so fucking.
I have like a Versus group chat with a lot of my friends, and like all the Versus they start, you know, we all watch Versus at and comment on it. And all of a sudden my group chat was going off, and I was like, am I missing a Versus? And then I saw, and it was like they're watching Drake and Kanye, and I didn't even know it was watchable.
It was watchable.
Where was it?
It was fucking weird. It was at the Coliseum in L.A.
All the clips I saw, I was like, what is happening?
It was, I think it got like a surprisingly good critical response.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought it was fucking weird and felt exactly like their whole makeup has felt, like very forced.
Interesting.
Quite literally. Like, so basically, I'll just break it down for you in 1 minute. Here's what happened. It was dark. It was smoky. And I was told by people there, they didn't have the big screens on either. So you're just looking at a big smoky stage in the middle of the LA Memorial Coliseum, which holds like 90,000, right? So
What Coliseum is?
So it's the LA. It's USC. LA Coliseum. Shit.
And they sold it out?
I don't know if they sold it out.
I don't think so. I saw a lot of empty seats.
Yeah, I don't think they sold it out. But the tickets were fucking dumb expensive, too. So
I thought it was a free show.
No. Free Larry Hoover.
Free Larry Hoover.
I know, but I thought it was a free ticket.
No.
You didn't.
Because people thought it was a free Larry Hoover show.
No.
It was a free Larry Hoover show.
You're putting a comma in the wrong place, Russ.
You're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Free Larry Hoover, but I also thought it was a free.
No, a lot of people thought that. So it wasn't. And there were still a shitload of people there. Don't get it twisted. A lot of people. They start out with like a someone from the, you know, the Larry Hoover's family spoke, and then the Kanye choir comes on and did like 25 minutes, and then Kanye and Drake both entered together.
Mm-hmm. Fire.
They entered together.
I saw this.
But then Kanye does a set.
He goes up the hill, and Drake kind of like made a left, right?
And Drake goes off to the side.
Okay.
Kanye performs, and Drake's on the side. Not on the stage. Kanye performs a bunch of old shit. People are really happy. He's playing, you know, I Wonder and fucking Can't Tell Me Nothing and all the shit. He performs Find Your Love. Drake, Find Your Love.
Okay. That's hard. He made the beat for that.
Right.
Kanye
and supposedly
performed
Drake.
Kanye
performed Find Your Love.
Okay.
Drake was supposedly hitting the hey, hey, hey on the side.
That's hard.
So they did that. Then on Can't Tell Me Nothing, Drake comes out and just kind of like
hype mans
him. Doesn't really talk, but hype mans him. Kanye leaves. Drake opens with a Kanye song from Donda. He does 24 from Donda.
Okay.
Then he goes into all his shit, which by the way, a lot of it, they had vocals playing on so many of the songs, like aggressively playing. Like, you know, one of those things where you're like, I'm waiting to hear you. It was
right.
Weird. That was all the new shit, though. So they did like 4 or 5 joints off Certified Lover Boy. They did Laugh Now, Cry Later. He did a couple other things. Kanye comes back and does a couple songs. And then Kanye does his verse from Forever. And Drake ad-libs like the end of Forever with him. And that's it. So
that was the whole show?
Yeah. It was like 45 to an hour of Kanye by himself. Drake comes out, does 25. They're together for a minute or two, and it's over. But Seif,
so Drake didn't do his old hits? Drake didn't do like Best I Ever Had?
No, he did a bunch from Certified Lover Boy and a few various, but it was mostly new shit.
interesting. And Kanye dug deep into the catalog.
Kanye did made it like a con, like his a real set. But I just thought it was weird because like they almost did some shit together,
right?
And it feels like they came up like just short of it really being that. And this is my favorite part, Sife. This is like Drake to me is always one of the things I say about him that makes him smart, and I also can be critical of him for. Is that he never all the way steps in on like issues. He kind of like stays smartly. All the merch said free Larry Hoover.
His said free the man dem. I thought that was awesome.
That was awesome. Drake's just said free the man dem on the back.
That was awesome.
Which I just found it amusing. And then the fact that they sold denim jeans for $400 that said free Larry Hoover on the leg was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Whoa.
And what's the why is all this free Larry Hoover stuff happening now?
I think it's because it's an issue for Jay Prince, and Jay Prince decided that's what it was going to be.
Oh, that makes sense.
But
yeah, it makes sense that what Jay Prince decides is what happens.
Yeah, like this is what we're doing.
Yeah, and I'd do it too. But Peter, do you want to be involved with the Larry Hoover thing? I'm like, I'm not really. Jay Prince, like, I think I should be there. Yeah, I'll absolutely host it.
But is he like has no chance of being free, and they're trying to free him, or like why is this coming up recently?
They've been, I guess, doing it for a while. I don't think he has.
Isn't his kid in, no, not his kid. That's something else. Never mind.
I know what you were thinking about the TV show.
Yeah, I was yeah.
It's hard to keep track. There's a lot of old school stories. But what I was told was, or not what I was told, what I read in an article yesterday by Craig Jenkins, who's smarter than me. He wrote about it and said, basically, no one really thinks Larry Hoover's going to get pardoned. It's Trump, you would have thought during his pardoning of famous black people, that would have been the moment.
But that's what they were saying, why Kanye was so going hard for Trump so that Larry Hoover could get a pardon. I heard that theory.
By the way, did you hear the other Kanye shit yesterday related to Trump?
What?
It's so deep, I can't even. Do you read it at all? It was crazy. That Kanye's publicist went to Atlanta to personally like pressure and threaten a worker at one of the polling sites to get them to say that they were illegally like casting votes for Joe Biden.
Holy shit. What?
Like
deep.
Kanye's
that's like scandal.
Yeah. Oh, no, Kanye's this close. Kanye's this close.
Where's Olivia Pope
to being in some
scandal?
That's crazy.
It's literally the show Scandal.
No, that's Scandal. I'm pretty sure that was like episode 5.
Where are we at?
By the way, Sam,
where are we at, Peter?
What?
Are we still on One App?
Or you mean Patreon?
Should we make this left?
Oh, why? That's what Billy June told you to do?
No, I'm just wondering if we should just...
Yo, fuck off, Billy June.
It wasn't Russ Billy June.
We're doing whatever we want.
Let's take Russ over to our Patreon.
Okay, Russ, do you want to come with us to Patreon?
What does that mean?
It means we keep talking, undo a podcast, but it's for people who pay for it.
Oh, okay.
Listen, we got to make
a
couple dollars, Russ. Can you help us out?
Yeah, we started a Patreon.
Can you throw us a couple dollars, Russ? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Russ, sign up for the Patreon. It's $7.50 a month, okay?
$7.50? What do I get for $7.50?
Whoa, so I'm happy you asked.
You get bonus.
You get an exclusive Russ interview right now.
Yeah, do you want to hear an interview with yourself? An extended interview with Russ? Now, we just mentioned Pharrell rapping. So if you remember what my favorite Pharrell rapping is, right?
Should be saying things like that.
Yes, sir.
Choose the sword.
I never heard this.
And you will join.
You ever heard this?
No. I don't know.
Hey, we'll see you on Patreon,
choose
guys.
The ball.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a question for the marketers listening.
Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.